And then you go home, of course. Mm-hmm. Now, Shannon also came, but...
At a different time.
At a different time.
Yeah, I mean, we were like 10 and 14 then, and probably best not to have us...
Probably.
...banging around at the same time.
Probably.
We didn't get along that well at the time.
I can't imagine you not getting along with that sweet, charming little sister of yours.
Oh, hey. Now I think she's awesome. All kinds of awesome. But at the time, probably not a bad idea to keep us apart.
Okay.
So, you're only there for 9 months.
Yeah, it was a course.
Yeah, okay.
But they wanted me to stay on to fill this vacancy. They wanted me to have the training.
Okay.
And then go to Washington, D.C. to fill this vacancy. So they just held it.
Mm-hmm.
And nobody was doing it. So then I moved to Maryland.
So you went straight from Indiana to Maryland.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Drove over.
So
in February.
So you served your time in Leavenworth later. We'll leave them hanging. We'll get back to that one. Okay. So then you moved to Aberdeen Proving Grounds,
right,
in Maryland.
And there's a reason for that.
Okay.
Because even though there was room closer to Washington, 150 years ago, a Congress decreed that there could be no more than 35,000, I believe is the number, military personnel living within MDW, Military District of Washington.
Hmm.
They didn't want a big army surrounding them. They were afraid.
Interesting.
There's still, remember, this is right after the Revolutionary War. They're still worried about standing armies, and for all practical purposes, dismantled the Continental Army.
Mm-hmm.
Got it down. At one point, there were 800 men to protect the entire eastern seaboard, 400 in one fort and 400 in another.
Hmm.
Now think about that. And a couple of ships. The Navy was still quite small, so there were a couple of ships, and that was the entire armed forces of the United States. And we're talking early 1800s.
Right. Before your time.
Yeah, a little bit before my time. But just think about that. That's not very big.
Well, you know, I mean, once we drove the British away, we didn't have any...
Well, no, we didn't, except there was the threat of the Brits coming back.
Right.
Which they finally did in 1812.
Right.
So what the founding fathers believed... First of all, they convinced themselves that the militia had won the war.
Mm-hmm.
No, it had not. The militia were totally unreliable. Frequently, when they were faced in battle, the first shots fired, they threw down their rifles and ran. They were ill-disciplined, unorganized, ill-equipped, bad leaders. Well, not bad leaders, but not the kind of leadership they needed. Washington recruited people to be full-time soldiers,
mm-hmm,
signed them up for whatever it was, a year, 2 years, promised bonuses and all sorts of things, and then whipped them into shape. That's where Lafayette and there was a German, I can't remember his name right now, who whipped the army into shape, and it became a real army. So this is during Valley Forge,
mm-hmm,
so that the next time the Brits came up against what they thought were a bunch of rabble militia, they were stunned when these guys stood and fought. I mean, really stunned. And they finally, the British leaders realized, we're going to have to change our tactics. These are not militiamen anymore. These,
mm-hmm,
are,
mm-hmm,
this is an army.
Mm-hmm.
So, but they came out of the war with the Continental Congress believing that the militia had won the war. So when they dismantled the army, what their thought was that if there is another problem, we'll just reorganize the militia. After all, they won the Revolutionary War. We'll just reorganize the militia, and they'll take care of us. A horrible, horrible, horrible mistake, as was proved in 1812 when the militia just vanished into thin air in, mm-hmm, front of the British troops. It was only in New Orleans that Jackson, by virtue of his personality and strength, organized a militia, which consisted of freed slaves, pirates, all sorts of waterfront thugs, just anybody he could get his hands on, supply him with a rifle and say, you point it this way and you pull the trigger on it. And he fought off the British invasion. And that story, song, about the British came and a lot of them didn't go back, that's true.
Mm-hmm.
He fashioned a breastwork and put his men behind it. So they weren't standing in the open. They were standing behind cover.
Right.
Now, when you've got people marching up in the open with nothing to protect them except the shirts they wear, that's pretty easy to knock them off, particularly if you've got a rapid fire, which by this time they had learned. By this time they had learned, thank you. Is that the anti-imodium? I mean, the imodium AD?
Yeah, it's just a store
brand. Okay. Anyway, Jackson won, even though the war was already over.
Mm-hmm.
Jackson won and showed that the right leader could whip a militia into shape.
That's your talk about you.
We are. Just a little.
That's okay. We got a little sidebar, but actually, it's relevant because you went to Aberdeen Proving Grounds, and you worked as, give me the correct title, but you were essentially a publicist for the Air National Guard. And this...
Well, actually, both Army and Air.
Excuse me. Okay, we're going to pause for a minute.